Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, 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 everybody, and welcome to another CB and the Boys. I am CB, your hostess with the mostest, and we got a show for you tonight. What is the 411? Well, if you know, let us know. Give us a call, 516-418-5603. The gang's all here, so without further ado, George, roll that beautiful bean footage.
Welcome to CB and the Boys with Crystal CB Booker, George by the Boy Homie, Roger Hawkins, and Lee Akasa. Coming live and direct to YouTube, Facebook, iHeartRadio, Blog Talk Radio, and Apple Podcasts. Bring you hot topics, interviews, live entertainment, and fun every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. And now, prepare to get charged up with a whole lot of fun from CB and the Boys.
All right. How is everyone tonight? Got the whole gang in the building. Roger, why are we scowling? What is up with that?
This is one of those days. You just got to look at people like, yo, what's up, son? No reason. I'm insane.
What happened was he got a fresh haircut.
Yeah, well, you heard me. Well, y'all better, you know, you can't tell me shit for like 4 days now. You know how we do.
I was wondering, when you get your hair cut, do they go right over the top, or do they actually cut around the bald spot?
He's so right.
Oh, God.
That's called the light. I ain't got no solar panel yet, son. It's all up there. Hey, you know, male pattern baldness comes from the mother's side, so I'm good on that. I'm happy about that because I ain't got none.
Okay. That's
what I tell myself. That's what I tell myself. What up, y'all? What's good?
So, how is everyone? What's up, Mimi? How are you today?
I'm chilling. I'm just chilling right now. Got my lip. Anyway, y'all know I've been in a rush, so.
Yes, we do.
I look forward to Wednesday nights just because.
You got to be done. It's got to be done.
So I'll wait my turn. I'll wait till my little thing pop up. I don't know if it's going to pop up, but please let me know because I'll be ready. I'll be ready for my little second.
Nothing wrong with
that.
It's been
a good week for everybody, though. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How about you, George?
George got his new hat on. So he just want everybody to see, you know, you know how you need to
change
this shit up on there.
Yeah, he's
rolling
in color, honey. He got them colors.
Hey,
you
know. Yeah, you know we rep
you.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Kansas City Chiefs for their defeat over the L.A. Chargers. Go, Chiefs. Yes.
All right.
So,
facts.
I think we were kind of worried in the very beginning because the way the game started, you know, I mean, it could have gone any way. I'm so glad that it went our way.
Because
I know that when we played the Chargers, we never beat them.
Then you don't know Steve Magnolia.
Excuse me?
I said, then you don't know Steve. He spends the first two quarters analyzing the defense, especially when they doing their thing.
Yeah,
and they come in the third quarter, they start chopping it up. Only it didn't even take to the third quarter. They started chopping it up in the second quarter. So by the third quarter, it was really a wrap.
I mean, that's what you're supposed to do.
I wouldn't worry.
So, good. We on a roll, off to a good roll on the week. Got our dub in and all that good stuff. But, yeah, man, we got some stuff to jump into. So, you know, we already know. Can baby girl get her thing? Can you, like I said, ain't nobody going to get this shit started right until Mimi brings us in all proper like.
Hey, it's Mimi's Juice Special. Mimi, know what you're tipping on.
Hey, you don't know, man. I'm digging my song. I'm over here like, hey, y'all just don't understand. Anyway, so tonight I'm just having my little mango margarita. I got to do it light because I can't do nothing too much. And you guys know how I do it. I do it my little ice and my little red straw. Okay. I don't know where these red straws be coming from, right? But every time I find a brand new one, I just clip it like 2 inches down, and I'm like, I got my little straw for my drink.
She's like, I don't know where they come from, but she always got one. All right.
I got about 15 straws. Don't let me have to go in the kitchen and pull all these straws out.
That's what's up.
But, yes, people, that's what I'm doing. And I got a little celebration shot. I can't talk too much about it because sometimes I just can't talk about certain things, but my team knows what I'm talking about, so I'm celebrating.
Just know.
And this is my little tequila
shot. That's what y'all need to know.
Yeah.
Let's go around the clock. CB, what you got?
Nothing. Water.
Nothing.
That's not you.
Nothing.
You know what? Water is good for the body. So there we go.
That's bored. Boring. Boom.
Cleansing is awesome.
Well,
Roger, what you got?
You already know I'm mixing today. I'm mixing what I like to call my creamsicle screwdriver. You know your boy like to keep it a little bit snazzola. So all that to say is you got your ice, you got your vodka, and you got your typical OJ, but you kick in a little orange creamsicle energy drink, Alani Float, and you just make what I call that creamsicle screwdriver. It's about to be real. So that's what I'm rocking today.
A creamsicle screwdriver.
Yes, sir.
I don't even say that.
You gotta market that.
It's dope. I'm just real. You like that? Creamsicle screwdriver. I almost was like creamsicle screwdriver.
You need to have that.
That's right. Anyway,
Liza, you starting some shit.
I love it.
I'm here for it. Let's go. I love it.
What's up, G-Dub? What you got?
I love it. George, what you got?
What I got? You know what? That's a real good question. Hold that thought. I'll be right back.
I wake up in the morning and I'm separated. In the bath with my homies and I show hate. Red and Dean, he be tripping cause they don't respect him. That fool rum, man, that fool gets dumb. I can't wait until they mix me. I'm going to their mouth, down their throat, until they kiss me. Hurricanes have a young player seeing things. Courage juice, watch when I get loose.
Which one are you rocking with tonight?
That answers our question.
Both of them.
Damn, really? Okay.
It's supposed to be on.
You're right.
Well, we're gonna start with this one. Because as you can see, Ellen already well tapped into this one.
Right. We're gonna
crack open a sweet thing.
We're gonna roll with this one. Now this is the E40 Slurricane Sweet Tea. I'm telling you, will put a whole nother spin on McDonald's sweet tea. If you like McDonald's sweet tea, you will love this because this tastes just like McDonald's sweet tea, only got liquor in it. And I'll have you sure.
But that's the kind of thing that will creep up on you and just knock you out.
Yep. That's what happens when you
have you gone slurricane style.
It'll put that forearm in the back of your neck. You know what it is.
Yeah, anything with cane is scary. Anything with the word cane in it, like, okay, yeah.
Hey,
like
hey,
some
this stuff here is a bad boy. It's a bad boy. Especially right. That sweet tea.
Mm-mm. Oh, well.
Okay. All right. That's what's happening. That's what's happening.
That's okay. What it is.
Well, cheers, everybody. Cheers. Boom.
Cheers, yeah.
Cheers.
I bet it. You gonna hit me off.
To the head.
All right. Well, since, hey, see, you alcoholics, y'all need to sweat this shit out. So, you know, let me help you out a little bit.
Let's go.
Because.
Oh, yeah. Who's this? Roger Hawkins.
That's why you're doing the crossing. Hey, I got issues. All right, I got a quick one. I had to run out and do this because I've been wanting to do this for a while, and I've just been all over the place, so I had to run out and do it today. But so anyway, just check it out real quick. It's kind of a total body thing. Anybody, you can do it at home. I literally, you know, did this in my backyard not too long ago, so don't nobody talk shit because I didn't get a good stretch in and get all limber. But anyway, like I said, we're gonna get into a couple of you can use your dumbbells or, you know, obviously bar weight and things like this, but it's gonna involve kind of a total body workout. So I'll kind of explain after we get through some of the variations of just the quick motions that I'm doing here real quick. It involves obviously like a squat, a clean, deadlift type motion. We're going over the head. So you're using anything from calves, glutes, all the way up to shoulders, lats, bicep and tricep. So we'll break it down afterwards. It ain't that long. George, you want to hit it? It's at the bottom. Yeah.
Oh, look here. Hey.
Damn.
Okay.
Damn. So just imagine, you know. Switch it up. Boom, bam.
Okay. How many sets?
Right. It's up to you. You want to get enough in to get a decent burn, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Bam. Now, there's some variations in here. They're subtle, but this is deliberate. I'm not falling apart. it's some subtle differences based on your advancement and your level and stuff like that. So here we're going to add the clean and jerk motion. I'm deliberately going a little slower than I would normally go. These are explosive exercises, but you can build up to that as well. So this is kind of part of what I was talking about. As you can see, we start with a pulling motion, come up. Then you get into your lats. You want to keep your elbows and everything close to your body, explode up. That's where the traps and the triceps come into play. So, again, the actual squat is one of the best all-around exercises you can do totally. So, of course, once you add the other dynamics, you're literally working your whole body. Those two exercises, if you do enough of those with the right weight, you're going to feel it from head to toe, toe to head. So that's why I wanted to put those two together. And then as you advance, you really get into a jump squat motion and explosion and push up. So I was going slow deliberately because if you jerk, you can pull a small muscle or whatever if you jerk. So that's what's good about those. You know, you're doing a clean and jerk, a clean and snatch type motion. Like I said, technique is everything. Ain't no point in going heavy if you're going to hurt yourself. But, like, those two respective exercises can be one hell of a total body workout. So, Mimi, you said how many. Something like that, I would advise, if you can do sets of five, do sets of five. If you can do sets of 10, do sets of 10. But you want to go until at about 70% to 80% max sets, you want to start burning. So let's say you're doing 10. Once you get to 7, you need to be feeling it. I don't want it to be laborious, but be feeling it. Because remember, you got to go over your head and things like that. And you don't want to hurt yourself, but you don't want to do it so easily that you can do this either. If you're doing that, you're not doing enough weight, you're not pushing yourself. So the answer is yes. Whatever you choose to do, you can do 20 sets of five or you can do five sets of 20. It's your call. But, you know, like I always say, don't lie to yourself. Don't cheat yourself. That's a great starter, intermediate, and advanced exercise in a lot of ways. So happy Wednesday. You're going to burn off all this calories and sugar that I'm about to miss.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. That's dope. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Man, I got some good questions for y'all, but we get to that in a minute. Shorty, CB, you got – I know G's been on the hump busy and all that, so unless she's got something to throw at us, we're just going to tell y'all the same thing. It's kind of a recession. Protect your money. Protect your money. Because they're trying to get it from you, boy. Inflation's real. Be smart out there, man. Be smart.
Yeah.
George, you said you had it loaded, my man.
Oh, yeah, that's for this one here.
All right. Boom.
Okay. Right. Now, let's check out the movie with Crystal C.B. Booker.
All right, and welcome to another CB at the Movies. This movie is a phenomenal film. I'm talking about none other than Woman King, starring Viola Davis. Oh, my God. She was just amazing. There is just no other way to describe this film. Before I get into it, George, go ahead and roll the wonderful trailer. You guys are in for a treat.
కొందరు దుష్టులు వస్తున్నారు. వాళ్ల వల్ల మన రాజ్యానికే పరమాదం, మన స్వతంత్రానికి కూడా. వాళ్ళు ఎదురు చూడని ఓ ఆయుధం మన దగ్గర మాత్రమే ఉంది.
Why don't you talk about it here a little bit while we go and find an English version?
Look, that was sounding good, right? I was sitting over here like, wow, did they like meet up with some like Arabs or some shit? Like, what the hell happened in the movie? You know,
hey, that's what she said.
I was like, okay.
Just start talking. Hey,
listen,
like, what the heck?
Y'all know what the hell is going on with you. You know what she's doing.
Hey, don't judge. I did it on the fly. I didn't pay attention. I'm sorry. My fault. No,
all right. Check it out. I got you. Already. Gosh, to be more careful, young lady.
Gosh, to be more careful.
So for those of y'all that don't speak French.
Let's rewind that.
An evil is coming that threatens our kingdom, our freedom. But we have a weapon. They are not prepared for.
My king, the Europeans wish to conquer us. They will not stop until the whole of Africa is theirs. We must fight back for our people.
Aleska, you are asking me to take them to war.
Some things are worth fighting for.
No.
You are called to join the king's guard. No king Islam in all of Africa shares this privilege. Train hard, fight harder. We fear no one. And we fear no pain. I offer you a choice. Fight or we die.
Whoa, where you
going? If you're a warrior, you must kill your tears.
We are the spear of victory. We are the blade of freedom. We are the homies.
All right. Yeah. Well, if you have not seen this movie, you need to see this movie. Everyone needs to support this film. It is that significant. It is that important. It is that phenomenal. It really is. The acting is just, it's superb. It takes you on so many ranges of emotions because these women, whenever they go out, there's a mark on them. You know, when people are jealous and they want to do bad things to you because you have something wonderful and you're doing wonderful things, and they're just sitting on the sidelines, you know, complaining, talking crap, and you have to deal with that. They have to deal with that every day. And it was just phenomenal to see how they handle everything, and just the fact that, one, that this film is based off of a true story, true events. These things really happened. These characters were really real people. They're based off of real people. And it's just so phenomenal to me, and it's so fascinating to me that, you know, this even happened, that there were people that actually existed who did all these phenomenal things. Like, we never learn these things in school. And, you know, and that's the sad part about it. We aren't taught about this rich heritage and our culture and all the phenomenal people a part of it who really contributed to so much of our history. It's just so mind-boggling to me. I'm surprised yet not surprised. The type of school, I went to private schools my whole life, so naturally they're not going to teach us this stuff unless it's at, you know, HBCU or historically black school. You're not going to learn these things. And it's really sad because you're really missing out. And I'm really glad that my kids, that the twins are so interested in these things, that my daughter told me about this. And I was just like, wow, I never knew this stuff. So it just boggled my mind. You know, that this really happened. You know, that there were people who fought back against the wrongs and all these horrible atrocities that happened to us. And there was people who really fought back against that, you know, even though it was a lot of us selling each other, which really boggled my mind too, because at the slave trade in the one scene, all you saw were, you know, black people selling other black people. So it was just, that was crazy to me. But this film,
that's
really,
what it was.
It seems like
that's what it was. A lot of people don't realize that's what it was. The slave trade started with black people selling black people.
And and that's just that's so crazy. But it makes you also understand why, if we all came together as a people and united, there is nothing that we couldn't overcome. There is nothing that we couldn't do. And that is why.
You know what? It's too much like the right thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, there's a thousand factors. You know what I think is, while we were talking about this movie, and it kind of ties into my thing, you guys realize Viola Davis is like, you know, she's quite a bit older And, I mean, to go through the rigorous workout that she went through, I don't know what her age is, George will find it in a second, but I know she's probably, she's late 50s, early 60s, right, George? I mean, check it out. That being said, the fact that she's doing all of this physical stuff, you know, it says two things. Damn, she's phenomenal, but also I don't want to hear shit from anybody. This woman got into her character, and she went hard. It's kind of like when you know, we talk about Angela Bassett, very famous, huh?
57.
I knew she was north of 55. I didn't know how close to 60 she was, but I knew she was north of 55. So 57 years old, and she's out there jumping with swords in her hand. And doing, I mean, you have to get it. That's method. She has to do that. But I'm just saying, look at how she's moving, like the quickness and the things like that. I mean, I couldn't be more impressed by that alone. I mean, we don't even want to get into the fact that, you know, shit, her acting is, I mean, she's in the upper echelon with a lot of the people that, you know, you would, you know, put historically in that, that's her caliber of acting. But the fact that she, at this age, took on that role, it just says something different about her. And people ought to look at that and go, damn, yeah, the fact she's walking around with armbands on, showing the guns and shit like that, y'all better get it together. Viola making a lot of us look bad. But I just wanted to throw that out there. She's, I mean, big ups to her for doing that. And then, of course, you know, it's always different when you want to tell a little bit of the story, the truth and stuff like that. So I don't go a lot, but I think I'm going to have to find my way to see this one way or the other. You know?
Yeah. You have to. Everyone needs to support this. When we went, I was really surprised that only 30 people were in the whole movie theater. 30 people. And only a handful of them. It was
you know
just,
where you live, right?
They rocked like, what, 19, is it 19 million the first weekend that it came out? But it still did very good at the box office. Yeah.
It did, but I know that my state didn't contribute to that.
That's what I'm trying to say. I'm like, just because you're like, yo, people need to see it. Some people don't want the truth right here. You got to realize that. And I mean, what you're saying is true. Yeah, the people that know they need to see it, know they need to see it. But for those who don't want to be reminded of, you know, some of the lesser great things that they did, they don't want to see that shit. I don't want you to remind me of how bad I was, you know. So,
but you're right. Is Arizona a predominantly black state or white?
No. The latter. White. White and Hispanic.
Oh, well,
not a lot of
it's got a huge white and Hispanic population.
Yeah,
okay,
because
well,
it's so close
the
to home.
Why.
And more,
oh, Arizona,
the Woman King. The Woman King opened with 19 million.
Yes.
Okay.
So they did pretty well for opening. But I don't think
So since we're talking movies, I mean, I'm asking CB, but I'm asking everybody. Why do you think you guys realize obviously that there's a lot of, you know, okay, let's look at Disney. Obviously, Disney's really capitalizing on this, you know, sweet Disney, Marvel, things like that. So everybody's been talking about The Little Mermaid using Haley. A lot of other movies have switched and added black characters to play the main characters. Now, you know, that's pissing the fuck out of places like Arizona. They are pissed off. But my question is, I know we can have our thoughts on racism all we want. Why do you think that is happening? Why do you think major companies and corporations are doing that, knowing you're going to catch backlash? I mean, there are people that are fit to be tied because you've got so many brown people and black people in character roles that were written God knows how long ago, and it doesn't say who they were supposed to be. But why do you think they're taking that risk, or why do you think they're doing it anyway? I'm just curious to know what your thoughts are.
Maybe they see the value of the black dollar. Like, we spend money just like anybody else.
We can stop. I mean, I was just curious, but we can stop right there. You just
all
said
money,
it.
All money is green. And at the end of the day, they don't want to start that shit with, you know, the whole black and white thing all over again. They don't want to try that because, you know, black folks are tired.
It's never gone.
Right.
But they
right.
But CB said it best. They recognize the value of our dollar. Do you realize we, and this is, it's just, it's cool, but it's sad. The black dollar is a, it's, we are such consumers, which is kind of bad. We should be more producers, but we represent a huge percentage of the revenue in this country as consumers. We are way in the billions. So I think what CB just said is the truth. It's like, listen, y'all can be mad or whatever, but for all of y'all in the hills of, you know, these backwoods ass places talking shit, y'all ain't the ones that's dropping this 10 and 12 billion a year on products, but they know we do that. So listen, if you want to call it pandering, yeah, I do feel like they're pandering, because guess what? You know what size your bread's buttered on. So, you know, how do you, they've re-released all of these classics 1,000 times. Would you really go to the movies and see The Little Mermaid again just because they re-released it? No, you wouldn't. But now you will. Yeah. It's all about money. Yeah. So you're right.
Yeah.
You know, I think, in my opinion, you're 100% right. The black dollar. So, you know, all y'all other
speaking
people pissed
of
off.
Which,
and I, yeah.
Speaking of which, everyone, don't forget that in November, we've got another movie to support, and that is the new Black Panther that will be coming out. So I'll keep everyone posted on when to start really, really, really looking for it, but it's coming out sometime in November, and it's going to be phenomenal. I saw the first trailer for it, and oh, my God.
Wow, yeah, Wakanda Forever.
Which is the name of the film, is Wakanda Forever, and it is just phenomenal. It really is.
Wow.
I'm interested to see how they're transitioning from Chadwick Boseman as the king, King T'Challa, to, you know, the new Black Panther, who is Cherie, the sister. So I'm going to, I mean, really anxious to see how they transition into that, or how they, you know, how they do that. It's going to be interesting if they're going to, you know, say that he was killed in battle, or if they're going to go a different route. Because really, I don't think anyone would accept anyone else playing King T'Challa except Chadwick Boseman, which we know is, you know, dearly departed.
Right.
But I don't think anyone would accept anyone else taking over that role.
You can't take over a role like that. I mean, it's almost like what's his name, brother's taking over, like, you know, in the Fast and Furious. Right?
Paul Walker.
Mm. Yeah, it's like
his
brother just like going in his place. Like, that was a very unique situation because it's his twin brother. You know what I'm saying? And of course they rolled it out that way, but you can never have him again. You know, it's like you can't just replace people like that. You got to make sure that, you know, like, however you want to roll out with it, like, all the people know what happened to him. So at the end of the day, it's just like you just move forward with production because it is what it is. You know, but you just can't replace him. You know?
I'm just curious to know how they're going to tie it in. Because you know it's going to be emotional. That's the thing. You know it's going to be emotional. Even if you break certain rules when it comes to, you know, filmmaking and things like that, you know at that particular point you're going to touch people, whether you use the real storyline or whether people just stop and go, okay, they tie it in a certain way. Either way, you're going to draw the audience in. I'm just curious to see how it's going to get tied in, because you're right.
Yeah,
I think it's kind of cool and fitting, because I think her name is Letitia Wright. What, is that her last name? That plays her sister? Letitia something.
I think so. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, and again, I like her. I think she did a good job playing the little bad, smart little sister. So I think that she's pretty cute to do that. So to see her make her transition, I mean, this was a wild way for her to come into her, you know, really going to be the big time. But I think she's deserving. So you know, we'll see what happens. But man, it's definitely going to be probably an emotional situation. Now, you know, I'm there for that for sure. So we'll see what happens. That'd be dope.
It's going to be a phenomenal film. From what I've seen of it, it's going to be amazing. I cannot wait. I think this film is even more anticipated than Aquaman 2, which has been shelved. We don't know when Aquaman 2 is going to come out now. I think sometime next year, but we still can't be sure. There's so, so much controversy.
Who the hell cared about Aquaman 1? Nobody gave a shit. Now listen, Jason Momoa is cool. He's a pretty boy. And I don't give a damn about Aquaman. We talk, unless you're a DC fan. Like, I don't give a shit. You should have put those two together.
I'm
that's just like...
Okay, that man can stand before me and be like,
"Get
me out!"
Well, the answer to your question is going to be the answer to your question, Crystal, is Christmas Day of next year.
Okay.
Hey, that was a bad comparison, though. I mean, I get it, Momoa. Hey, he a fly boy. I ain't mad at him, but you literally was just like, "Yo, would you rather follow Malcolm X or Homie the Clown?" Oh, like, ain't no fucking comparison. Nobody gives a shit about Aquaman compared to Black Man.
And tell that to all those that made it the highest grossing.
But I get that. He's, I mean, like I said, he's a fly boy. I ain't mad at any pretty boy and all that shit. But, you know, from an in here standpoint, I don't give a shit.
Chadwick
is my
no. Spider-Man, no. It's like,
none of those mean anything to me.
Spider-Man, Batman,
I mean,
none of the men.
I'm mad, though.
Jason, if you're watching, he said it. I didn't.
I meant it, Jason. Hey, I hang with you. I rock with you. I don't give a shit about your movie.
Stand before me. Come stand in front of me.
Right.
I'll really go hard for you. Give me you'll get an Oscar. If I have anything to say about it.
Well, no Oscar coming. Like I said, he's cool. He's good. He ain't Chadwick good. Sorry, Jason. You my guy, and I hang with you, have a beer with you, but, you know, you ain't Chadwick, and you know it. Anyway, it's all love, though. It's all love. I ain't mad. He got Lisa Bonet. He got his childhood crush, and he's making movies. Shit. You know, I'd be a hater if I said he wasn't that guy.
Are they still together?
No, they broke up last year. They broke up like a year ago or more.
Yeah, rumor has it that it was because of Amber Heard. So I'll just leave it there.
She was just the most.
And he ain't even
messing with her
no more.
No. It's called options. It's the man got options. The man
yeah,
got
options,
period.
This is just so tough. The lights on,
but the thing about that, for you to be like, I want to be with this person, you're looking at her from you little on TV like, I want to be with her. Yeah. And then you get with her, and then you give her kids, and then it's like, bye.
But yeah. I'm not going to say it was just like, bye, but you know what? They're people. They're people just like everybody else, just like some of us.
Yeah.
We've all had relationships that didn't work out. They just happen to be public. And, again, you know,
right.
Lisa's had a divorce or so. She's a little, you know.
She's been known to try to seduce her soul star. Even Kevin Costner called her out, saying that she tried that crap with him, but he wasn't having it. And
so
she did that
go.
With Johnny Depp, because they met on the set of Rum Diaries. And she tried to seduce James Franco. They had a thing going, and you know that they were in Pineapple Express. So she has a history of seducing, sleeping with
Which means by the time you get to that point, you know her history. So if he fell for it, it's because he wanted to. Like, if it ain't the first time going. You know, they know what's up.
He
like,
wanted
to
be part of the team.
Together.
Yeah.
He wanted to be a team player.
That's what it was. I wouldn't even – and that – yo, listen, real talk, that chick is batshit crazy. Batshit crazy. If you saw any parts of that trial, that's why she's a good actress, because she's out of her fucking mind. Because she's bananas.
Yeah.
She's nuts. I mean, anyway. But, you know, like, I just think it's because, listen, age difference be damned. It's just the fact that that brother he was going through his prime doing all that. And it ain't got to do with love. It's just, you know, things, especially in that industry, it's tough. It's super tough.
But my thing is, rather than put someone through that, just divorce them and move on. If you're not happy or...
Yeah.
The thing is, they didn't have a prenup. That's where he made the first mistake. And two, she was a gold digger. That came out in the trial. She lied. That came out in the trial. Everything that she talked about, everything she said he did, it came out in the trial that it didn't happen. Some of the stuff was so far-fetched, it made no sense. She can't act. Her acting debut was on that court and she was horrible. And we knew because she won, she couldn't cry. She's telling the most horrific thing, supposedly, that happened to her in her life. And she couldn't even shed one tear. Although she made the crying face, but nothing was coming out. It was she's trash. And I think
right.
her career should be over. She deserves for her career to be over. And I'm so glad that Johnny has redeemed himself. He's got his reputation back. People
yeah,
right. are finally, you know, rocking with him again. And we know the truth. And I'm glad he's winning. And I'm glad that she's steadily losing. I mean, they're getting so desperate that they're going after content creators on YouTube, mm-hmm. you know, because they were on Johnny's side during the trial. And after you see all the evidence presented, if anybody watched the trial, like I did, faithfully, every mm-hmm. single day, if anybody watched the trial, you'll see for yourself just how much she lied, how much she was yeah. out to destroy this man for no reason at all. And
yeah.
Here's
a question. How often do you think this
crazy.
Happens to non-celebrities? Because, see,
a lot.
We take a personal interest in
that,
the people
that
we like.
Because of who they are.
Right.
You know, no
but
one
this
cares
happens
about
a lot.
Those that, who aren't celebrities because we don't find out about this thing. But this one was in the public eye. Johnny wanted the trial to be televised so everyone could see the truth. He didn't care
because
about the money.
He wanted to get his
reputation back. He wanted to prove his innocence, and he did. And another thing that this trial did, too, was it really shined the spotlight on domestic violence, and it showed that it's not just females that get abused, but males can get abused by females. Because there are many
men that don't
hit women. So you're going to let your woman beat the hell out of you, but you're not going to hit her back because you've been brought up not to fight women.
Some people do, but that's it's not across the board. But yeah, this ain't new. This shit's old. Trust me, this goes back decades, just like anything, but you're right. In terms of shining light on it, there hasn't been a lot because how difficult is it to have sympathy for a big old man? That would be like if I came over and said, oh, my little 5'3" wife or girlfriend was smacking me up. Y'all be like, Roger, I'm going to need you to learn to pee standing up because you're a pussy, because you're not going to expect me to get beat down. But it could be because of how I was raised, or it could just be because some people have that power over us mentally or emotionally or whatever the case may be, and there's never a right or wrong answer. But, yes, I agree, this was a higher profile exhibition of what has been happening for a long time. So, yeah, and, I mean, you see it. Well, unfortunately, you see it in other industries that they don't care as much about that involve, you know, artists and hip-hop and things like that. Happens all the time. And, unfortunately,
right.
you're right, it would take something like this to kind of be, you know, the block that people are starting to aim for now because someone like a Johnny Depp would put himself on Front Street to exhibit exactly what's been really happening behind the scenes. So, you know, big ups to him. But he did. You were right. He's smart. He got his life and career back by publicly showing everything. And, I mean, you know, I just know, unfortunately, there are a shit ton of guys out there that don't have the finances or the reputation or the catalog that he has, and therefore they're going to get swept under the rug. But trust me, I think we've all seen, and we can all name an example of a, you go, damn, man, that poor guy. Like, we've seen people get drugged through the mud, literally and proverbially and physically and all of that stuff. And people are just like, you know, figuratively and just in any way, emotionally, they just do them. And the guys have to sit there and take it, you know. So.
I just think just like women. I just think that just like women have the liberty of freaking picking up the phone and calling 911 when a man decides that, you know, she's hitting on him, and all of a sudden he pushed her away, like, get off of me, and she does the whole little tumbling and get a little bump right here and call the police for the bullshit. I think that men need to step it up just as much as they know she will pick up the phone and call 911. They need to pick up the phone and call 911 and ask too.
The problem is if the cops come to your door, even if I'm beat the fuck up, if they come to my door and it's my house, I got to leave. Because you're going to get protected 99 out of 100 times. You are. Even if they know that you, we've all seen it. We've all got our own stories. I don't have no story, but I mean, I know.
Somebody
got
to go. Somebody got to go to a hotel.
As a rule, they're going to make the man leave because you're more equipped to take care of yourself.
But this is the thing, Roger. You're still coming back to the same freaking house.
Yep.
In 24 hours. And what makes the cops think that it's going to be any better when he comes back? And I understand that heated shit happens and, okay, go cool off. But some people don't cool off. You know, and it's like, wait, in the next 24 hours?
Yeah,
you know?
Unfortunately, though, they usually can't or won't do anything until after something has happened, after it's too late. And that's where the goofy people. Yeah, it is. It's so horrible because it's literally like we can't do anything until one of you is hurt or dead, and then we can do something. We have something that we can press charges on. But yeah, you're right. You know, you go, you leave for 24, you do whatever, and then it's a vicious cycle. But the problem is, and again, this is rhetorical. I'm not asking anyone to answer. You ask yourself, well, why do people stay? It's no right or wrong answer. It's just why do you leave yourself in that position? There's a lot of reasons why people feel like it's still better here than out there in the unknown or nowhere to go or whatever the case may be. Now, in cases of people like this that have money, affluence, and places to go, it just makes you think, you know what, they just like to be dramatic and gluttons for punishment or whatever. But for people that can't afford to live on their own or things like that, I mean, I don't know what's the right or wrong answer because, again, I thankfully have never nor would I ever be in that position. If I ever felt like I'm that angry that I want to hit a woman. I mean, I know a lot of ways to get in and around things. I don't have to ever strike a woman, not even a big, strong one. But that's me. How many people are well-versed in something that can protect them? Not a lot. But if I feel that mad, one of us got to go, and it's probably going to be me, and I'm not coming back. Or if it's my shit, you're going to be gone, and you're not going to come back. I just don't ever feel the need. If I get that mad, that's a wrap. You can't – You shouldn't make me that infuriated that I want to see you, because like I said, I think when we get to that point, when you the whole see red thing, that's a problem. That's a real deep problem.
Yeah.
But you're not hitting on me. I tell anybody in a minute, I don't put my hands on anybody. Don't put your hands on me, because if you put your hands on me, then I'm going to put my hands on you, and then that's going to be a problem because I don't think anybody should do that, not a woman, not a little one, and I've seen little women do that. They know they got this big old somebody's George's fucking height, and then you got a chick that's 4'11". You got somebody 6'5", reaching up, popping in the mouth, do all that because you trust that he's going to be chivalrous, or that he's not going to hit you, or that the police are around, or that they're witnesses. I'm going to have to make a phone call. You're about to come up missing, because what you're not going to do, listen, I don't let a man come up and hit me. I'm not going to let anybody come up and hit me, no one. And people don't get that. I'm sorry. Y'all gonna be mad. I will knock an old lady down. I'll beat up an old man. I'll beat up a handicapped.
Roger.
Don't fucking touch me. Don't put your hands on me. Like for real,
Roger.
For real. Don't touch me. I'll beat up anybody that I don't care. I'll push you. Hey, if you hit me, I'll push you out your wheelchair. I'll push you in front of a bus. Fuck you. Don't touch me. I don't like that.
Just, mercy. Boy, pick up your drink and have a sip.
I love you, though. I love you. I'll help anybody, but I'll hit anybody, too. So I'm just letting y'all know, chivalry don't exist over here if you try to hurt me and mine. I love all, but I'll hurt anybody.
I'm about to put them paws on you.
Absolutely. But then, don't, because we can talk, we can disagree, and I don't like that. Like I said, it's never called. Like, I don't know, y'all know who Blueface is. He's a rapper. He did Tatiana with Cardi and all that. Anyway, he's been getting his ass whooped in public by his gal. I mean, she's a pretty little thing. She used to be a Division I athlete back in the day. Boom, boom. She's been laying hands on this dude. She's been touching him like a preacher. And it's all public, and everybody's doing this. They want to see. So
we ain't got no recourse.
We have no recourse. I can't do this to one of my girls in public and not think I'm going to jail. That's not fair. So, you know, all that to say, you know, I know we got there, but man, just you got to be smart. You got to know when to walk, men and women. You got to know when to do this. I know love is love, but Now you got to protect yourself. So I don't I don't believe in doing it. I don't touch anybody. Don't touch me. You know what I'm saying? But yeah.
So
anyway,
yeah. So moving right along, Phoebe.
I want to circle back around to that, Ross. But right now, since today is the 411, and everyone, if you want to weigh in on a topic, if there's something on your mind, give us a call, 516-418-5603. Let us know what's the 411. If you know, let us know and give us a call. So speaking on that, a school bus driver in Morgan County, Georgia, has lost his job after a video surfaced showing him pushing a pair of young black siblings and children and telling them to get to the back of the bus. The school bus driver was fired and arrested after being caught on camera pushing two black students and telling them to go to the back of the bus. So, question, if these were your children, how would you handle that?
I would have beat his motherfucking ass.
At the end of the day.
All the way to the back of the bus, from the front of the bus to the back of the bus.
Yes.
That's how you handle that. Be waiting the next day at the bus stop when the bus man shows up. You get on the bus and commence to whooping his ass from the front of the bus to the back.
He didn't make it that far, evidently, so that's a good thing. My thing is, at the end of the day, the department did a very good thing by, one, getting rid of him, two, by getting him arrested because his life was definitely in danger.
That part.
So with all that being said, they did what they were supposed to do because this is what happens 9 times out of 10. They make excuses. The guy is back on the bus, all this nonsense. So they did all the right things. So my thing is, as long as my kids are not so hurt that it's like, you know what, you know, my kid got bruises, all this stuff, then you know what, but they did the right thing, you know, and now it's just a matter of making sure that that little one especially, you know, get some kind of counseling, get it right to make sure that he's on the right path because, you know, that's right there, that's PTSD right there.
Well, yeah, he physically put his hands on these children.
Hey, I know George got it. Pull it on, G.
I'm going to whip his whole ass.
Okay, now I have a question because there are three sides to every story. So here's my question. Does anybody know, has there been any testimony from any of the other children about what led up to this? Because I know something led up to him snapping, and I'm by no means justifying it. I just want to know, what were they doing? Were they laughing too loud? Were they playing? What were they doing that made him go left and attack these children? Because, again, I've been on school buses. Listen, I know as a teacher and counselor and a coach, I know how they can test your nerves. But I'm just curious to know why he chose them, shove and push and all that, because at that point, like I said, you've taken it way beyond the boundaries of your job and things like that. It doesn't matter what they did unless they came at him, yelled at him or spit on him or something like that. I mean, you know people are recording, so I'm just curious to know what caused him to snap and go that route. Because, here's my answer, which I think we already know. Roger just got through explaining that he enjoys violence. So we already know what Roger would have done. Like George, like I said, hey, we got a new student on the bus. He's pretty tall.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that. You know, his name is Roger, and he's going to be, you know.
Of course. The thing about this is that the little boy seemed like he was trying to get back to either his sister, his cousin, whatever she is to him. He was trying to get back to her, and it's like, nah, I'm going to keep y'all separated. But, you know, you can't do that because if I get on the bus and I see my big sister in the back, it's like, oh, shoot, I want to go see my big sister. I want to go see her. And she's coming to get him.
So, yeah, was he trying to force one to the back or both to the back? Because, like, the story, the headline or whatever reads, you know, he's telling him to sit in the back of the bus. And, you know, people are going to jump on that and fluff it up because, oh, black people back in the bus, blah, blah, blah.
It looked like he was trying to separate him. It looked like he was trying to keep the little boy at the front, like, sit your little butt down up here and you get to the back, like that type of thing. And it looks like it probably just got, you
know,
things get twisted.
There's a lot in there that we're missing. If he had pushed
the little boy in her direction and be like, look, y'all go to the back of the bus is a different thing. But he was really keeping the little boy away from her and telling her to go to the back. So it's just one of those ugly little things.
Well, and at some point, I agree, at some point they're going to have to get some testimony from these little ones to say this is what happened before you get the whole story. Point blank, if that little video comes out and I don't know the rest of the story, I feel really, really fearful for what's going to happen to that man, because my kid can't come home to tell me anybody put their hands on them that doesn't have my last name, same height as me, my address. You can't do it. And so at that point, like I said, I gotta make a life decision. Do I put this person in the hospital or the morgue? You can't touch mine. And so especially when you leave them in your care, that's the whole thing. You leave them in your care. And again, you know, drivers are fed up, teachers, all that. I get it. Trust me, I've been in education. I've been a coach. I've been all that. And I'm going to be honest with y'all. Some of y'all's kids get on our damn nerves because they're unruly and not well-behaved. But that being said, you still have to have a particular disposition, a certain amount of resolve to do this job or don't do the job. If you can't handle that, then, you know, you need to have steps and whatnot. So, yeah, there's going to be more to this, I guarantee you. But, yeah, on first sight, that happens, you know, some old white man does that to a young black girl and boy or whatever the case may be. Oh my God, he's got to move. He's got to move, or it's going to be all bad because you just.
So apparently, what's happened is the little boy was getting in trouble on the bus, and the older the little boy's bigger sister was already sitting down towards the back of the bus. Well, when the bus driver was moving him and telling him to stop whatever it was he was doing, he called out for his sister. His sister reacted to her brother's voice. So it's not like they was both on the bus just cutting up, you know. His sister reacted to you know, little brother's call, which led to that thing right there.
You know, like we said, he might be getting a
which
little
makes
bit of trouble.
Because, I mean, you know it's got to be as quick as that was, that little 12 seconds of video, you know it had to be something ongoing already for another student to have pulled out their phone and been like, hey, I need to record this. You know what I mean?
This is the thing with all of that, right? He could have really just go ahead and let the little brother go with the sister. At the end of the day, they would have still been going back to the back of the bus because the sister is like, you know what? Let my little brother come with me. We're going to go sit to the back of the bus and wait till we get off and everybody is okay and ain't no drama.
Right.
But no. Now you want to try to get up, separate them, do all this drama. Somebody pulls out a video, you're done. You're done.
Right. Because what was said? Was she being belligerent, or was she saying, let me get my little brother? See, these are all the questions we're going to have, because if she was saying, let me have him, that's one thing. Again, he's just doing this. I don't know who's who. But if, you know, if she came up there and decided that she wanted to become, you know, confrontational as well, then it turns into something different. That's why I'll be honest with you. You know, I got out of that a long time. It's not – My hat goes off. I got a good partner who's a coach now, and I know people that teach, but my hat's off to you guys because I spent some time doing it, and although I never had those kind of situations, a coach for a lot of years, it can escalate that quickly, and then, you really, really have to be careful about the choices you make when you're dealing with other people's kids, which is why I liked when parents were around. Because I was one of those coaches. I didn't do a lot of yelling like you see on TV, but I was those ones that would tell them, listen, I'm going to say some crazy stuff to your kid, and if you don't like it, leave now, because I'm going to have them in shape. I don't do disrespect, and, you know, you got to be like that. Look, if they want to buck up,
there's a new video
that,
going viral, and it.
Yeah, that part. You know, so it's tough. Your hands are tied in this institution, so, you know, I just think, you know, it'll come out.
Of course. And, you know, it's really crazy because I've been in an incident. It wasn't so much like that, but a little boy had and my daughter was 8 years. She was in third grade at the time. She's 8 years old. And this boy had slapped her in school after school. And she came home and she was like, "Ma, it's really crazy because the way like our house was located, I could actually go on my porch and see the baseball field at the school." So we were right there. So she runs home and she's like, "Ma, this little boy slapped me." And of course, you know, I got her in the truck. I got my baseball bat. You know, I done drove around the corner, went to the school with my baseball bat. Where's this little boy at? Find out the little boy grandmom lived right on the other side of the school grounds. So now all the kids are walking behind me because I'm with my baseball bat and my daughter, because I'm like, "You ain't going to just slap my daughter and get away with this."
Oh, good.
And, you know, by the time I hit on the grandmother door, like, "Y'all need to come out here with this little boy. He don't slap my baby." What? Like, I got the baseball bat. The grandma came out. She's like, "What's going on?" And I was like, "Man, that little boy of yours, he done slapped my daughter. I need to figure out what the hell done happened." And she brought him out there, and she made him apologize. And it was like, you know, "You never touch that girl again. We taught you not to hit on girls." And by the time she closed that door, that old lady was all over that little boy. I felt so bad.
But that's how it's supposed to be, so you don't have to do that. That's accountability.
Yes.
I'm for that. I'm all for that. Please come and tell me.
Exactly.
Because I don't want anybody to get the opportunity to beat
and
my children like I would.
He apologized to her. He apologized to her. She came home the following day. She was like, "Mommy, you know, he came and he wouldn't stop apologizing. He wanted to share his lunch." I was like, and that's a beautiful thing. I was like, "Well, this is what I'm going to tell you. You never let nobody hit you like that again without telling somebody." Because she was like, "I ain't found no adult. All I thought about is coming home and telling you. I'm the worst person you could come home to and say, 'Ma, somebody done slapped me, punched me, did some shit to me.'" Because I always tell her, find somebody to tell before you take it upon yourself. Because, you know, we had her preschool situation, which I was telling Crystal about. You know, we had her preschool situation before. She was in preschool, you know what I'm saying? And I kept telling her, "Don't ever come home and tell me that somebody done put their hands on you, mess with your hair, mess with your skirt," you know, because I come from a crazy place. So I was like, "Don't have these little boys putting their hands on you and doing all these different things to you." And, "Okay, mommy, okay, mommy." And this little boy kept messing with her. Before you know it, she took a chair, bust the child in the head. Preschool, she done got put out of school. I had to put her in another school.
I'm gonna have to make a video called "Bus Drivers Gone Wild."
We got some new.
Hey,
they everywhere.
This ain't even new. This is old.
Let's go. Pictures: a Cleveland bus driver punching a female passenger. I want you guys to pay close attention to every single second of this video because every single second is relevant. Let's take a look. And by the way.
Ouch.
It is a difficult video to watch if you're uncomfortable seeing a man physically assault a woman. So I'll give you that.
You and your bitch.
I'll bring my daughter up here.
Okay, well, bring your man here, bitch, and I'll beat her ass too. Nigga, I'll go up that house with you.
Look like somebody to slice your face up.
Oh, you
Well, let me start off by saying the obvious.
I remember that.
It just threw her out the bus.
He went.
She shouldn't have slapped him. That's all I can say.
You saw that.
Whoa.
I remember when that happened. Boy, yeah, he to the moon house. It's not really funny per se, but at the same time,
Nah, that shit was fucking funny. Fuck that. It was funny because she was, "I beat her ass too, and I beat their ass too, and I beat your ass too," and slapped him. And
yeah, she looked at the
head. Oh, so she put her hand
off her
on
feet.
Him.
Yeah, that's why dude wouldn't sat down.
That?
The dude in the red and yellow.
Because I was busy watching the guy getting out of the way.
Yeah, she leaned up in front of him and slapped him.
No.
I think it proves two things. One, this ain't your granddaddy's chivalrous days. It ain't one of those, you know, "Come on, honey, don't do that." People don't think like that anymore. And you know what? Like I said earlier, I was only like 4% joking. Don't put your hands on people because those rules don't apply anymore. Like I said, if you touch, expect to get touched. And that whole – see, I bounced for a lot of years, which y'all know. It desensitizes you, and I'm sorry to say this. It will desensitize you when you keep hearing, I don't give a fuck, I'll fight a man. That means something to me, I'll fight a man. It makes you go, okay, you know what, I'm done with this shit. You can't save someone who doesn't want to be saved. You can't help someone who doesn't want to be helped. Now, as funny as that was, I don't think I've ever felt the need to uppercut somebody off their feet into the moon, but it was delicious. I mean, he definitely got like a 9.5 for style, points, and distance. That being said, I have never felt the need to uppercut a woman like that. I have slapped a chick with a phone
book. I had to watch it twice, but it looked like he uppercut her. She flew up. And then he caught her as she was coming down and threw her off the bus.
But
threw her right out the door.
Like, yeah, it's a shame that people feel the need to step into someone's shoes or a role that you're not in. I can't even imagine. I've dealt with some belligerent, but I just have never felt the need to want to just fisticuffs or beat up a woman. Like, I've had women swing on me and do all kind of things when you put them out and things like that. You just got to be smart. You got to hold those hands down time, get them to the door, and wait for that swing to come and get them out. And I just don't have to ever fight a woman. I just don't.
Yeah,
like,
I never do all the time. I will never hit a woman, but I will throw one.
You just don't have to. Like, unless someone tries to attack you and your family. Yeah,
there.
You know what I
mean. They start getting hands, you just grab them and throw them over there.
So don't put yourself in a man's place. I would tell my children when they were younger, don't put yourself in an adult's place. My children should, when they were young, don't ever have an adult-sized argument or disagreement. You call me, but don't ever have an adult or don't, as a woman, put yourself in a man's shoes as a child and in adult shoes, because now you're stepping over the line. So I'm just super glad I've never had to contend with that, because, like, that kind of thing, man, wow. I wonder what her father, if he's alive or around, I wonder what he thought, or her brother, any man in her life, I wonder what he thought. He was probably mad and wanted to fight the bus driver, but I know some small part of him was like, yeah, she kind of deserved that, and damn, that was a nice uppercut. But I just wonder, like, I would have been ashamed of my daughter or sister or anybody for talking to a man like that, and then I'd be like, you know what, I'm mad you hurt. And I'm going to defend your honor, but you put that ice on your motherfucking jaw and sit down and you think about what you did.
Yes, and this is the thing. Did you hear what he said? Because he was like, it looked like somebody done sliced you across the face already. So that means that she's just trouble. She's off the chain. That's it. And she looked for the attention. She looked for it in the wrong place, and she got it. She got what she was looking for. So
that part.
You know
what,
and it does happen, because at the end of the day, it's like, look, ain't no woman deserve to be beaten by no man or hit by no man like that.
No,
but at the end of the day, it's like, what did you bring, or why would you put your hands on a man? Because at the end of the day, men are not supposed to be taking hits like that from women no goddamn way, period. I don't believe in a woman trying to hit on a man knowing that if the police show up, you're going to have a mark on you, because trust me, he's going to do something to you. Because, you know, men snap, just like women, we snap. So it's like, you just have to be, you got to be mindful.
Yeah, respect the position.
That.
Look, you can have a baby. I can do more push-ups and bench press. Like, let's stay in our roles. You make me go do the manual labor and just, you know, handle it. Don't switch, don't crisscross, but that's a different story. I know CB going to kill us. We got to pay some bills. I got a question for y'all, but like I said, I know we got to pay a couple bills real quick, but I have something to ask you guys on this front. So when we get back, I'm going to holler.
Let's go.
My drink is broken.
everybody, it's me, CB. Join us every Wednesday for your midweek motivator, offering you conversation, motivation, music, laughter, and a whole lot of fun. So tune in. Let's talk. Join us as we shake things up and talk things down. CB and the boys, join us for your midweek motivation. See ya.
I'ma make you pump like that.
Motivation, laughter,
a whole lot of fun.
Yeah. Mimi, come back to Earth. Shit.
Okay.
Yeah, right. You already see. That's fun. Right. Y'all know me. I'm Captain Question of the Day. So let me ask you something. I was reading, you know, I know we've all read the story. So Tyler Perry, you know Tyler Perry, worth a B, a couple Bs. But we were talking kind of about, not really about abuse and all that, but like, you know how his dad used to beat the shit out of him and his mom growing up. He was just really a bad dude. And he always talks about how what blows his mind is the amazing, immense, intense amount of love that his mom had for his dad, no matter what. He hated Tyler. I don't know what he hated about him. Maybe he hated that he wasn't sure about his sexuality or that he was even there at all, but he, you know, you could tell it bothered him. Once he got paid, got rich and all that, he literally, he bought his dad a nice crib, pays all the bills, but he has nothing to do with him. And he said, my father always did that for me. No matter what, he provided food and shelter. He did the necessities. That was it. It was like, I'm repaying him. I'm doing that. We don't have a relationship, but that's kind of my job. My question is, would you guys be as giving and forgiving if you were kind of in a similar position, whether it be with, you know, what one parent or not? Would you be able to do that?
No.
Okay, so I'm going to say this. I do that now because
okay.
I grew up in a situation like that. Even I love my mom dearly, but she was extremely abusive, you know, and she didn't protect me the way that she needed to protect me and allowed a lot, whole lot of shit to happen. But at the end of the day, she's 73 now, and I'm like, you know, okay, I understood what happened back then, and I'm over the shit because it is what it is. I've turned over all types of leaves in the family and done a lot of shit, said a lot of shit, still saying shit because there's shit, a whole lot of shit still going on. But at the end of the day, she's still my mom. It's like she's still my mother, like the person that's responsible for me being here because I could not have been. The type of life that she lived, I am even lucky to be here on earth. So it's like, you know what? She's still my mom. I'm going to do what I got to do. You know what I'm saying? Everything is at the arm's length. You know, I'm there for her.
Have you guys ever discussed it? Has she ever said anything to you? Apologized?
Little bit by little bit. But at the end of the day, this is the thing. The folks that grew up in them days and all the shit that they went through and all that, they're not apologetic type folks. Like, you just have some people that just don't not take accountability for the things that they've done. And, you know, it's like the I'm sorry is more like, let me do all what I can do for you now because, you know, we're in this position. So it's not the words I'm sorry. It's the let me do what I can do for you or let's try to make it up because I lost so much time with you. You know, so I'm never looking. I never looked for the words I'm sorry because I know I wasn't going to get it. But the fact that we are in a different place today to where we were back then, I know that it's the, she wants to say I'm sorry, but she don't know how to say it because she's just one of those tough folks that just ain't going to say it. you know, but she is showing her that a different type of love because of her age and knowing that she needs us. So,
right,
yeah,
right.
It's not an easy
she
situation, but you still have to, yeah, yeah.
I'm sure I know, but George, how would you handle it?
You know what? Honestly, I don't even know. That's a hard call. I really don't.
See, I didn't have any abuse, but, like, my pops was not around. You know, my old man, really, like, I saw my old man every few years all through, you know, growing up. I mean, he came around literally when I was 31, and I had already had a family and children. The redeeming factor for me was, and my pops was always, he's just a cool dude. You can't help but like or love the guy. He just wasn't a good father. He was an only boy. He was the youngest. He was spoiled. So he just never really grew up and became responsible. And it shows because he had a slew of marriages and all this other bullshit. But the thing, and I'll say this, the thing that was redeeming was when he came around, he deliberately said when he retired and he drove from California to Kansas City and he said, I want to be a full-time grandparent. And he also was like, he gave accolades and credit to my mother and stepfather before they passed and to my grandmother who finished raising us and things. And he would tell anybody that would listen. So he, you know, he made his amends. And that's one thing, Mimi, I know you said it's hard to get, but he made his amends by he given them the compliments and the credit for who I had become. I felt good about that because he had a lot of pride, and he would tell people in a heartbeat, you know, how he felt and how proud he was of his son and his grandkids, et cetera. So it was easy to say, okay, I can spend the rest of this time, be like, I'm not dealing with him, or I can start over brand new. And I'm glad I did because my kids got way more of him than I ever did, and I'm not sorry about that. Who knows? I might have been a little bit more of a loose cannon had the old man been around. But he was not. But here's the thing: there was no abuse. There was no a lot of other things.
Right.
I don't think I'm that forgiving of a person. I don't think I'm as forgiving because you can't do me wrong, hurt me like that, and then hurt my mother. You see, you couldn't have done that to my mom. You couldn't have. And then have me forgive. I'm just people say I'm not a forgiving person. I'll be honest with you, I'm not. Especially when you do something like that to people I care about. Me, I got broad shoulders. You cannot hurt people I love, friend, family. I'm not a forgiving person. So anybody out there, don't come telling me what I'm supposed to do because I'm going to tell you kiss my ass. I'm not a forgiving person. Because if I don't give you a reason to do that to me, don't do it. So anyway, when I read that, I was really curious to see how people felt about it because, again, yeah, he's got a lot of money. It's not about the money. It's about what are you trying to do? I'm not trying to buy my way into heaven. I have no guilt. So I'm not getting you shit if you did me wrong. But that being said, I'm glad my father did come around because the last eight, almost 9 years of his life, my kids got way more out of him than I ever did, and I could not have been happier. So I guess that's kind of interesting. But it, just a curiosity, CB, don't she look like she ain't too forgiving either. She's like, nope, straight up, fuck it, one word, no.
She already said no. She was the first one to say hell nah.
I mean, but you know what? It was cut and dry. Nope, not doing it. Nope. All right. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Oh, my God.
I know, right? Oh, God. But that's, it's interesting. Like I said, I don't, you know, this man was homeless. You were, it's just some shit you can't do to me. I understand sometimes we all disappoint each other and all that, but just hurt me and be angry and mad and do that kind of, I don't have to. And it doesn't bring me down because he wouldn't have existed to me. Like people that have done that have kind of wronged me in the sense of, and by wronging me, I mean you hurt somebody I love or you tried to get to me a certain way because me personally, nah, it ain't going to happen, but I ain't got to forgive that shit. Even if I speak to you, I still haven't forgiven you because you knew what you were doing. So I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that when you consciously do something and then tell me that I got to forgive my trans. Shit, bet I don't. Bet I don't.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
But he needed that. I think he needed that. So I think, you know, a big ups to you, TP, for doing that. You're a better man than I am because hell no. I'm still mad at the fool that stole my bike when I was younger. Motherfucker, I had to steal my own bike back. Son of a bitch. But anyway.
So, Roger, you
yes,
have
ma'am.
spent you had sent some information out earlier that CB and I had the liberty of going through earlier, and we talked about it.
Oh, yeah.
We don't forget. We got a whole time to cover.
Baby, look, sometimes I know we all get busy. That's going to be, that's hot. That's hot, right?
Yeah, no, we got to talk about it. So, please, run with it.
For sure. Okay. So, for those, I know everybody's like, what? Okay. Obviously, I scratched out certain names and things like that. But long story short, there's some individuals that I know through another friend. It's a couple. And it's too long to read. I wish we could have popped it up there. But the gist of it was the woman put a post out, made it public. Mm-hmm. And she said of her husband of, I don't know, they've known each other a long time. I think high school. Now, it's been
20 years.
Right, 20 years.
I wrote some little notes on it, so yeah, 20 years.
Me read it. So before they got married, huh?
Yeah, actually, it's not that long. We can't actually read it. It's a small
part. Okay, I mean,
what the wife said,
you said
was,
what?
I'm grateful for my husband who forgave me and stayed. Yes, you heard me right. I cheated, and he stayed. I broke his heart. And he stayed. I affected his relationship with God, and he stayed. We have gone through hell and back, and he stayed. I celebrate you for being a man of God, loving your family and protecting us, even though you were wounded, working through our own challenges and still managing enough strength to speak God's word over my life. Excuse me, for standing on God's word regardless of our feelings. I love you, and I'm not ashamed to tell just a piece of our story. I love you, baby. Keep striving, growing, believing, trusting, and pressing towards the mark of the high calling. Thank you for forgiving me. I forgive myself, and there is no shame or condemnation here. I am a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things are new. People like to post about their success, but sometimes you need to know a bit of the fire of a person's journey to truly understand the glory they walk in. Peace. So that's what the wife had to say.
That was the wife. Now, I'll be honest, I know that individual through someone. I don't know her very personally, but I know of her. I know her through someone. I'll read her husband's response, and he said, "We weren't married, but yes, I stayed. I stayed because God said you were my wife. I understand what led you to that point and why. But God was trying to elevate me like he did Christ and wanted me to forgive, and I didn't do that. I lived a life of revenge and realized that I missed God's opportunity for me to become more like his son, and I cheated also. But the truth of the matter is, you're still the best thing that has ever happened to me, and through these 20 years, I've learned that love is not an emotion, it's a choice. My choice is to love you because God gave you to me, and what a glorious blessing you are. You have truly loved me and forgiven me also. And now that we're on the other side of the grave, we can testify that standing on God's word is the key to moving in spite of any pain. If our or your Facebook world, he's talking to, testimony can heal or save someone, I would encourage you to do so. You don't know who needs to hear this. It's worth sharing. I just want to say, I know Mimi's ready. I think we all want to say, listen, man, to these two individuals, you guys are huge. Here's why. In a day and age where, of course, everybody shares too damn much, this is something that's really, really needed. And somebody out there does need to hear that. I pose that to you guys because how often do you hear the woman go, I did it. It was me. It's usually us. He did me wrong. What's the number one reason you think women leave? Oh, he cheated. Not really even the number one reason, but it's the easy excuse to make. So this woman actually said, hey, yeah, I did it. For whatever reason, she was unhappy, she did it. And it wasn't because he did it first or anything like that. So the fact that she's saying that and that she's telling the world, y'all don't understand. He actually forgave me because so often is y'all got to forgive us. He did me wrong, blah, blah, fucking blah. So I just thought this was so huge, and I don't know why it struck me, but it really, really did because I think the story reads opposite of what you expect. It's always us having to be forgiven. And this time, She was like, no, it was all on me. And he spent a lot of time, although he kind of did the same thing. He kind of punished her over the years by going, yeah, you did that. I'm going to keep myself emotionally distant. But they kind of they kind of weathered the storm, et cetera, et cetera. So what are your thoughts on that? Do you understand or think that this is way more prevalent than given credit for?
No.
Ain't nobody going first? Okay, so I'll go first. Here's my thing.
Okay, we'll get my little piece out the way.
So I was at work
when this text came through, and I looked down at it and seen how long it was. It said, swipe next. swipe next.
Hell,
I looked at that and I said, I'm not about to read all that and put it right back in my pocket.
First of all, this is the thing with George. George ain't going to say a whole lot anyway. And don't give him nothing to read that's more than two lines.
Really? I wasn't even doing it for that fool. I was doing it for you two. I was just going to tell him what happened. Even if he was on a toilet, I wouldn't expect him to read that long shit. Because, man, we don't do that. We answer back in three words, and y'all write a book. So, ladies, I was looking at it for you guys. Help me out here, because you're...
So this is the thing, because I look at it from a different perspective because I lost my dad to AIDS, and it's crazy because he's been with someone on the outside throughout his first marriage, throughout his second marriage, throughout his third marriage. This lady never left his side. She's been with him forever. She just knew she was never leaving my dad, and my dad was never leaving her. But he was trying to get away, couldn't get away, and still messing with her. Well, somehow she ended up catching AIDS. She gave it to my dad. My dad gave it to my stepmom. My stepmom wound up in the hospital. 2 weeks later, right, after all kinds of testing, they're like, well, you know what, let's just take an AIDS test because that's the only test we never took. So they got the signatures. She took the test. She wound up positive.
Yeah.
So then it was like, oh, shit, we got to test your husband. Test my dad. His percentage was so much higher that it's like, shit, he the carrier. But where did it come from? It came from the lady that he's been messing with for fucking up 10 years.
Yeah.
Now she got it. He's got it. My stepmom got it. Everybody dies. Okay. So fast forward to this situation that I saw. And I'm going, she cheated. And then he felt he needed to cheat to retaliate. But cheating is a very serious thing because you don't know what you're bringing back. You don't know what you're getting yourself into. And when I think about that type of thing, even in my relationships, if you cheat, there is no forgiveness. Because the one thing that I always go back to is my dad. He cheated with somebody that got him sick, and then everybody dies. And my younger sister, who I lost last year, November, she was 14 years old when her mother and my father, our father, died. She was 14. So I look at that whole thing, and I'm just like, to me, there is no forgiveness on cheating. I'm sorry. You stepped out. Just like if I stepped out, I'm out of bounds. I got to pack my shit and go. Because if I feel that I have to cheat on you, there is something that I'm lacking at home that's going to put me in a position that I'm going to cheat. So if I'm cheating, there's no way that I expect you to forgive me because at the end of the day, I could have brought home some shit and infected my household. So with me cheating and then you cheating, and it's like, that's too much liquid. Like,
now.
I'm going to get the mindset with it, so I'm sorry.
Here's my question. I'm about to throw something at y'all, which I didn't tell you guys, because you're saying, it's semantics, but you're saying it's more about the physical act that's the big deal. Now, obviously, I'm sure that there's some emotional part to it, too. So I think the whole purpose of this was to say that the bond that was broken was internal. It wasn't so much about the external, because believe it or not, women handle the physicality of cheating far better than men do. I think that's a known fact. We can't handle the emotional aspect or the physical aspect of it from you guys because of the competition, the competitive nature of men in any species. You guys don't handle the emotional part of it very well because that's way deeper.
I'm part man, part woman. I got to be part man, part woman. I'm sorry.
Possibly. But and again, it's a possession. Listen, it's a possession thing. I mean, there's no right or wrong answer, but I can give you the list of shit. It's a possession
right.
thing. But the point that I'm making is now. Let me hit y'all with this. You know, she cheated before they got married. So technically, no, it was before they got married.
Okay, so
but she did.
I thought they weren't married. They've
been married this whole time. When she did what she did, it was before they got married. But she still held it every bit as sacred of what she did. So see, we use that term faithfulness and fidelity and all that. So you know what? That's an American, that's a slave institution. Believe it or not, my loyalty to you, my dedication to you, you can't legally. Or you can't put anything on me and make me feel, just because you give me a piece of paper, I ain't got to be loyal to you. I don't. But I choose to be loyal to you. Fuck that paper. Fuck those words, that vow. That shit means nothing to me. It's what I feel and what I feel about you. So see, we take that too seriously in this country. Don't let somebody stand up in front of you in a gown with no drawers on underneath you and tell you what you got to do. If I feel like this about you, shit, we can jump the broom. But that's just my take. That being said, She did what she did before they got married, but she still was like, look, okay. I made my commitment to this man, and I feel like I broke that commitment to him. Marriage be damned. Now, she cheated with a woman. Boom! Yeah, she cheated with a woman. So the thing, but it was about the emotional part. See what I'm telling you? With women, this is where, look, this is the rule I used to have when I was younger, and forgive me, but I'm going to tell y'all this. When I was in my early days, you know, learn from old heads. Listen, for a woman, if I get to your head, I'm going to get in your heart. That means your ass is mine. For a man, it's the other way around. You got to start from the bottom up. That's how you build us. So if I'm chopping it up with you, if I got you for a conversation, I know I'm going to see you again. If I see you again, I know how to make you love me. When I love you, when you love me, it's a wrap. Like I said, so if I get in your head, you're going to give me your heart. And when I got your heart, your ass is mine. But that's the difference between men and women. We equate things differently. And so for her, the betrayal came in that it was something emotional. And that's why she felt bad, because he didn't have to compete with another woman. Look, if you're my woman and you cheat on me with another woman, the only thing I can say is, shit, I hope she's fine and maybe does she mind having a third. But if you cheat on me with a dude, that's different. That's way different.
Well,
that's just how men are. We hypocrites.
So that's almost not the same thing. Cause
Why?
Because I don't think that – I think that was more experimenting than cheating.
If you fall in love with another person, a person's a person, baby. If I'm in love with you and you a girl, I'm in love. If I'm in love with you and you a guy, I'm still in love with you. A person's a person. It's the emotional infidelity, not the physical.
So this is the thing. So he got with somebody that also likes girls.
No, she did what she did at that moment, but she's never, ever done anything else since then. It's not that she liked girls. It was she liked whoever that individual was. There was something about that person that made her fall for her. Once that was over and done, that was it. She's never gone anywhere. She's never done another thing in over two decades. It was where he pushed her. Listen, 99% of the time, if a woman cheats, I pushed you to do it, and I know that. If you step out on me, I made you do it. Because by nature, you guys are much more loyal and monogamous than we are by nature. And so if I make you hurt or frustrated or angry enough to go and find and seek whatever you're seeking from somewhere else, more than likely I did it. That's the truth. Now,
I'm not doing it.
We ain't got to know your name.
I got to break up all the way. I can't do it. I can't cheat. I gotta get the fuck on.
And that's you. And a lot of people feel like you, but you know what? More people don't, because people are selfish. More people are like, listen. And you know what? No, there's no right or wrong answer. So for you, you're like, that's it, I'm done. But let me put it to you like this. I know some people are gonna get mad about that. Y'all know I love that. Do you trade in your car if you get a flat tire? No, you don't. If the mirror breaks, no, you don't. Now, some people are rich enough that they can do that, but most of us are not. So if your shit gets a flat tire,
but
do you get a mirror?
Okay. No, you know what? That's the wrong example.
No, it's not. No, it's not, because you don't throw the car away.
Well,
you know,
speaking
what,
as one,
I've
cheated. I've cheated. And
you're
I'm
cheater,
not ashamed
though.
To
do it. You don't count. You're not
cheating. You're
slut. That's how it was in the past.
You don't give a
I mean, and I have to agree with Roger. Like, when someone cheats, usually they're pushed to it. It's like, you're like, okay, so you cheat. Okay, so I'm going to cheat. So it was more tit for tat, really petty, stupid stuff. But
okay, so
I
let me ask you a question, Crystal. Let me ask you a question before you go ahead.
Okay.
Okay, so when you say that, you know, you've cheated, do you just randomly cheat? Do you cheat because somebody pushed you to cheating, or you just cheat because you just felt like, oh, shit, this is the shit right here.
Yes.
I'm about to do something.
No, I cheat for revenge. If someone cheats on me, then I cheat on
you. I told you it was payback. I just told you it was payback.
She already said that.
When she said she cheated, she was pushed to cheating. So right there is probably telling you it was payback. It was
okay.
She cheated in retaliation.
Okay.
She had retaliation
sex. I need you to elaborate on that. When you said you were pushed to cheating, because I don't see how you can get pushed to cheating.
Because he cheated first.
I first
two wrongs do make it right.
My baby daddy cheated on me.
Two wrongs do not make it right, man.
And so I cheated on my baby daddy, and then. But this was before he was my baby daddy. So obviously it still worked out because we were together 5 years before we had twins. He got busted big time because I surprised him at work. And I was driving past. He used to work at the Pizza Hut on the landing. And I don't think it's there anymore. But he used to work there, and I stopped by on my way home. I used to work at Pro Records, shout out to Pro, which is, of course, but anyway, so I was on my way home, and I stopped by, and I was going to surprise him, but I got the surprise because I pulled into the parking lot, and there he is kissing another girl with a box of pizza.
Hell no.
So here's the thing. Yeah, I mean,
but
like,
trying
okay,
to keep
like,
up customer
see,
satisfaction.
So clearly, this nigga, that's when I used to deliver. He delivered. But no, clearly CB has what's good for the goose is good for the gander mentality. Mimi, your experiences are different. That's just how you feel. You're black and white about things. I'm just telling you the truth. But that's you. You have your respective reasons why you can't. And some people, people don't like that analogy, but it's spot on about the car. Because women go, don't compare us to cars, you're right. Well, you know what? Just like a car on a cold day, how many times when it's cold, they won't turn over for you. But it's the point that if you're driving and you get a flat, you call AAA, you fix it, you work it, you don't just throw your shit away. Most people can't afford a new car. And people, if you use the terminology of time spent, or if you use the analogy of time spent versus money spent and things like that, it's the same thing. I invested. How many times do you say I invested in this relationship?
I
put this much money in the car.
You need a car. You're going to need transportation. You need a car. You don't need a man. You don't
Yes, you do. Yes, you don't need a man for your man, but you need a man in this life. Let's
not
go there. Okay. Okay, so here's my point. I'm going to make my point. If something's going on, Do you want a bunch of female cops to come break up a brawl or a bunch of men? Do you want a bunch of female plumbers or a bunch of men? It's not about you needing a man to live because you don't. You don't need a man to survive, you personally. But do you need men?
I'm talking
hell
about,
yeah.
But we're talking about relationship-wise.
Yes, you do.
Because
that's why
I said the car is not a good analogy, because you do need a car.
No, you don't. No, you don't, because you got a bus. You got a bus.
No, you don't. You got a bus.
A fucking school.
You got Uber.
You got a bus, a bike.
You got all kinds of ways to get around. You ain't got to have a car.
My point is they're all vehicles. They're wheels. You got to have tires in order to use on vehicles.
And just like a car, some of us are good fucking rides. Shit. I'm just saying.
It's a necessity. In a relationship, if a person needs a relationship, if a person needs another person just to feel secure, to feel safe, to feel loved, to feel all of this stuff that they can give to themselves, then that's problematic. That's called clingy.
To feel some good dick, real dick, and real touching, real feeling, real kissing, real shit. Because a dildo ain't gonna do it. That shit ain't gonna do it.
Yeah, but
anyway.
Take him to church.
Fuck it.
Check in with the dildo. You don't have to call the dildo to find out how they're doing. A dildo won't call you to check on you.
Take him to church. Take him to church. Y'all better listen to Good Rap Mimi.
Yeah,
listen. Y'all want to be honest? I'm going to agree with both of y'all because,
she's
you know what?
Hell.
If you got some good dick and you bring toys to bed, they will never leave you. Shit, like I said, it ain't got to be
this
just a dildo.
Thing.
There's all kind of sex
this
toys
the
out
thing.
There that y'all ain't
this
talking about.
This is the thing. This is the thing. Because I'm gonna put myself out here because I can't. Because this is the kind of show that we got. I ain't doing no toys. Never done it, never will, never trying to. That's just point blank end of story. If it's not a real man with a real dick and some real kisses and some real hugs and some real get my tatas, if it's not all that real shit,
Mimi, you do realize there's more than just dildos. Don't you understand? There's more than, you don't just have to have a dildo.
I don't want it. I don't want none of it. Because
you ain't had it. I promise you,
exactly.
You ain't had no vibrating ring on your man's real shit. And like I said, your eyes ain't crossed. Mimi, you don't know what you're missing. It ain't got to be a dildo.
I don't want that. And my eyes stay crossed because I know how to make my own eyes cross. Stop.
You're frigid. Because like I said, you ain't had the rabbit. You ain't had the bullet. You're frigid. You ain't had nipple clamps. You're frigid.
So at the end of the day, what you're telling CB is that she's right.
No, I'm telling. Listen.
So here we go.
Listen, we got some music coming. Come on.
Without you, baby. So if you need me, if you want me, put it on you. Because I love you. Yeah. Don't you forget it. Whenever you need me, if you want me, to put it on you. Come on.
Never be a part of me, mind, body, and soul, ain't no I in we, baby. When you cry, who wipes your tears? When you're scared, who's telling you there's nothing to fear? Girl, I'll always be there when you need a shoulder to lean on. Never hesitate, knowing you can call on your soulmate, and vice versa. That's why I be the first to see Jacob and frost your wrist up. Now you're old man, I know you're tired of being lonely. So baby girl, put it on me. I'll be without you.
I
know you're tired of being lonely, so baby girl, put it hurt my baby girl. If this was our world, it'd be all yours, baby. I told her long might break me. And I don't wanna go crazy. Cause every thug needs a lady. I feel you, baby, cause them eyes ain't lying. Wash away all the tears, there'd be no more crying. Baby, and you complete me. And I would die if you ain't with me. So baby girl, put it on me.
Had a hit without somebody on there with him except for one. But when he got it, when he collabs, he's golden. That's a joint though right there. That's a joint. Y'all tripping tonight. I don't know what's wrong with y'all, man.
We had to tone it down.
Trust me. Hey, we are going to revisit this on another show. I'm just letting y'all know, damn it. Because I got a friend who has a whole business all about that. So trust me, we're going to tighten it up. Real quick before we go, y'all know I got questions. The preacher that got robbed, the bootleg shit-wearing preacher, y'all see him choke the shit out of that one chick and like, toss her up in church? The same guy that got robbed with all the – oh, dude, this dude is just ridiculous. Like, first of all, all that truck jewelry and terrible
another
shit he
pastor,
wears
– yeah.
No, same dude. The pastor who was flashing all of his suits, his Gucci and Louis, that supposedly got robbed, like, for, you know, them $32 suits he wears, that shit's horrific. There's a video of him reaching out and literally touching this chick, like, supposedly he just laid hands on her. Now, he claims that she was trying to attack his wife and daughter, which who knows why if she was, unless, look, it's my day to fucking you did, so I'm mad. But he choked shit out of her. He put hands on her. He iked her. So then he went on the defense, et cetera, et cetera. Now, much like the other clown that we talked about who was begging for the Movado, his congregation has about 11 people in it. So to those idiots, I guess thank you for being a faithful follower, you dumb shit, but... they're talking pretty heavily about, like, something's got to be done. I'm sorry. Like, look, I'm not trying to shit on people's belief system and things like that, but, man, you got to look at the leaders of your congregations and respective faiths and things like that. And what, like, it's making it look bad. It's going down the toilet, in hell in a handbasket, literally. But this guy, and again, so unfortunately, you're going to see a lot, even if it ain't just us and it's not, but you know that they're going to put us on blast, and it looks like we're leading the way because too much of this has been popping off.
After a car crash, the big insurance.
It's just coonery. It's coonery. I know George is about to find it. So anyway, let me see what his name is if I can find it. I can't think of it. They call him designer pastor or some shit like that.
It's
so gaudy. It's terrible, but. My thing is, do you think that the institution as a whole is going the wrong direction? Because I know some people are very, very faith-driven, and some people are really, really heavy into that. And I know our predecessors were hell in the handbasket, if that's what y'all think. You got it, G?
Look, y'all. Yeah, you're not talking about the Brooklyn picture, are you?
Yeah. Yeah, he choked the shit out of some. He choke slammed some woman in the thing, and he tried to defend himself by saying she was lunging for his wife and kid and all that, and he said he didn't yoke her up and all that kind of stuff. But all that to say, this guy's been in the news way more than he deserves to be in the past couple of months, and he's a clown. He's a complete ass clown. Maybe I read it incorrectly, but doesn't matter. Doesn't really matter. But I think it's the guy, they call him designer pastor. He supposedly is the one that got robbed for $1 million, which I know he doesn't have, of jewelry and all this other garbage, because you wouldn't have a church where you have it if you had $1 million in jewelry alone. But, you know, all that to say, look, man, I'm not knocking nobody's hustle, because to me that's what a lot of it is, but it's buffoonery that doesn't need to get the attention that it's getting, unfortunately, and it's all negative. But, yeah, he touched her. He touched her real nice. He touched her nice. Her wig almost came up and everything. it's just kind of what's going on. But, yeah, if you find it, pop it up, man, and let me see.
This might be the same dude. This might be it.
I think it's supposed to be. It's the same guy. It's the guy that got robbed. Yeah, it's the guy that got robbed. I mean, he got the Jussie Smollett robbing. He probably hired those dudes. So, air quotes, the guy that got robbed for his $1 million worth of Captain Crunch jewelry and shit. But
hold on,
the next, you got it?
I got something. You're gonna see. Uh-oh. Wait a minute.
Yeah, it was all across news and social media and all that good crap. So anyway, you'll know. Yeah, let me see it.
Police are looking for the suspect after Brooklyn Bishop is robbed of more than $1 million in jewelry, and the incident was caught on camera during a live stream.
That's right. Bishop Lamar Whitehead was delivering a sermon yesterday morning when he noticed the gun-wielding intruders. Police say the suspects targeted the bishop and his wife. No one was hurt, thankfully. Lisa Evers is in Canarsie with what the bishop had to say after this horrifying ordeal. Lisa.
Well, Stephen Lurie, this well-known Brooklyn Bishop Lamar Whitehead holds his Sunday services in the space you see right behind me, with some of the faithful coming in person and many more watching his sermons via live stream. But on Sunday, his sermon was interrupted when armed robbers burst in.
Wrong video.
Yo. All right.
On Sunday, as Bishop Lamar Whitehead delivered his sermon for his Leaders of Tomorrow ministry, police say three masked gunmen stormed in and rushed right for the bishop. They took more than $1 million worth of gold jewelry and gems, including a Rolex watch from the bishop and his wife.
When I see them come into the sanctuary with their guns, I told everybody, get out.
No shots were fired. People here are stunned.
It was just shocking to know that in this neighborhood something like that would happen. And it's thrilling for the people that come to church that day. It's horrible. It's sad to know what's going on in the world right now.
The armed robbers ran out, and then police say jumped into a white Mercedes for their getaway. Bishop Whitehead was in the news last May for attempting to negotiate the surrender of murder suspect Andrew Abdullah, wanted for the Q-train shooting that took the life of Daniel Enriquez, who was on his way to Sunday brunch. Whitehead drove his $400,000 Rolls Royce to the 5th Precinct, but the NYPD took Abdullah into custody without his help. Whitehead has had his own contact with the criminal justice system, serving 5 years behind bars for identity.
I'm going to send it to you, G. That's the wrong one. It's same guy, wrong video. But I'm going to send it to you.
Wrong video.
Yeah, wrong video. George over there looking. I'm like, all right, George. So, like I said, which I'm happy about.
No, I was trying to find it. I don't know, but
I'm gonna shoot it to you. Appreciate. But while George is loading that up, y'all city, man, y'all city is getting too much publicity. Did you realize Jay-Z's legal team helped convict that dirty cop in KCK who was accused of basically raping and abusing black women for the past like 15, 20 years? He retired and tried to get out of it, and his story posted live, and so Jay-Z's legal team actually went after him and caught that bastard. So anyway, KCK, y'all on some bullshit right now. But yeah, I read that. So you know what? Big ups to them, because people always say celebrities are doing this for themselves and nothing for the community, and he had nothing to do with that, but you know, they caught this guy, so I'm happy about it. You got it? Okay, so this is the guy. Tell me what you guys think. So as y'all can see, same emblem, same logo in the back. Now, he claims that she was coming for, he claims she was coming for his wife and kid, wherever they were. You see, well, how many people is that? 9, 11, shit, all those empty chairs. So I don't know what point she was making, you know. She never, I don't see her go for no wife or kid. He came over to her. That's okay. So that's what that's supposedly
like
was about.
She's accusing
right,
him.
So everybody
of something.
Got a, right. She's accusing him of something. Now there's the wife and kids. They standing up. People clapping. Boom, boom, boom. All 8 of them.
Mm-hmm.
He claims. Oh, okay.
She was.
So
you got her and escorted her out.
Yeah. So so from that view, it appears.
Wow,
that nice. she was trying to tell, listen, this is your man, he's not right. I didn't see her lunge, but you see what I'm saying? I just gave him just cause to put hands on her because she was probably getting a little too close to the truth, and so he had to go and touch her up before she told everybody what that fool was doing. Because I'm sorry, dog. Like, people get bad at me, but listen, these preachers got a bad name out there. They got a real bad name. It's so
you know
much
what?
Corruption in this.
I think that dude was hustling. He's setting stuff up. I don't believe either one of them videos.
You think? Come on, baby.
Did you see the first video I showed when the robbers came in? Did you see the dude off to the left of the stage? He was just sitting there chilling like.
That's what I'm saying. They said
he did
the Jussie Smollett thing. He set himself up for publicity. That's the point we're talking about. Like,
but he only had
14
people inside. He had 14 people in there.
Boom, there you go. So, I mean, right there.
In a little
come
spot.
Come on, ain't nobody.
In a little spot where you can sell clothing in Brooklyn.
So you got 5 people in expensive-ass Brooklyn, you know, even when but you got $1 million worth of jewelry. Come on, fam. $1 million? Come on, cut that out. I'm sorry, like, it's getting a bad name, religion, and these preachers and all that, they give him whatever. But you know what? That's his job. I keep telling people, that's his job.
And he's
doing his job.
And who goes to say that jewelry is really millions of
dollars? It's not. I promise you it's not. He wouldn't be there doing that if he had
not
a million in jewelry.
Not in Brooklyn.
I promise you. Right. It wasn't. But
everybody would have been robbed. Everybody in the church that day would have been robbed.
Yeah, except if you know the robbers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I ain't worth your Red Lobster money. I ain't worth your Michael Kors money.
CB, shut it down, baby. We got 1 minute left.
Right. Oh, God.
Everybody, thank you so much for rocking with us tonight. Hopefully you enjoyed our show, offering you music, motivation, conversation, laughter, and a whole lot of fun. And we definitely had a lot of fun tonight, guys. So go ahead and say your goodbyes, and I will bring up the rear.
Look, one love. God bless you guys next week. Mwah.
It's almost time to end. My drink is broken. Thanks for hanging. Y'all let me have a good time as usual. Take care of yourself. I'm out.
Go ahead, George.
Peace, love, and head grease.
Oh, God.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much once again for hanging with us tonight. You can listen to TV and the Boys, and we will see you back next week, same time, same station, as we bring you motivation, conversation, music, laughter, and a whole lot of fun. So hopefully you did receive that tonight. And next time we do this, call us.
I think she knew what I wanted to hear. Spin them around like a wheel on fire. Walking on tightrope for love, how why? Fatal attraction is where I'm at. There's no escape for me.
I just want to be
you.
Where you
want me to be.
You want me to
be.
Mm-hmm.